The committee will come to order. Members, please take the seats. I would just like to remind everyone that you should make sure that your cell phone is turned off, as this may be broadcast, and we don't want any interference with the electronic system. We don't have a quorum right now, so I will move forward with some testimony. But I would like to announce this. Number one is that we have a number of bills that are going to come forward, and there's going to be a number of testifiers, so I'm asking everyone to use some restraint when we think in terms of the amount of information that we receive. Okay? The first bill that we will consider is House File 316, which we will hear testimony on and lay over for possible inclusion in our recommendations to the Bonding Committee. I will move Representative Johnson's bill. Representative Johnson, welcome to the committee. Tell us about the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to present House File 316. I'm just going to say a few introductory words and turn over to my testifiers this morning. This bill is about historic Union Depot in downtown St. Paul, and it's being developed by the Ramsey County Regional Rail Authority as a multimodal transportation hub, transit hub. And this beautiful facility will once again provide economic vitality and excitement in our downtown St. Paul as people take advantage of our transportation options in this area. And this building is listed, folks, on the National Register of Historic Places, so it's quite a sight. In these difficult times for our economy, the project is already generating new jobs in the region as the post office right down there constructs its new mail sorting facility in Egan. And the depot will provide many additional construction long-term jobs as we restore it to its historic use. I do want to say I want to thank the committee for its prior support of $3.5 million for the project to help match over $50 million in federal funding that is already available. And I hope we can count on your support of the $9 million we're requesting in this bill for the rest of the match. Sitting with me at my side here are a couple of folks, Jim McDonough, who is the chair of the Ramsey County Regional Railroad Authority, as well as Steve Morris, to his left, the transit project manager for the Ramsey County Regional Railroad Authority. And they're going to talk about the project for a few minutes and answer any questions that you might have. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Testifiers, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and tell us who you represent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Jim McDonough, Ramsey County Commissioner, and I chair the Ramsey County Regional Rail Authority. The Ramsey County Regional Rail Authority is in the process of moving forward on the redevelopment of Union Depot in downtown St. Paul as a multimodal transit hub, and key to that will be Amtrak and their operations. Central Corridor is getting very close to a full funding grant agreement, which will bring light rail there, and we're in conversations with Greyhound and Jefferson and other organizations that are very excited about moving their operations into Union Depot to become a multimodal hub. I'm going to be real brief here in my introductory remarks. Have Steve bring in. He's going to take you through a short slide presentation and give you the very specifics about what we're looking to do with these dollars and the vision for Union Depot and where we've been, what dollars we've accumulated to help us move forward on that vision. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record and tell us who you represent as well.
I'm Steve Morris. I'm Transit Project Manager for the Ramsey County Regional Railroad Authority. This project has been a very exciting and gleam in a lot of people's eyes for quite some time, and it really got new life in about 3 years ago when the post office decided to move their operation, their sorting operation, out to Egan. And that made the working end of the depot available for other uses. The Ramsey County Regional Railroad Authority has been the recipient, as Commissioner McDonough mentioned, of about $50 million in federal funding that will be available once the environmental work is done, and that will get us off to a good start in implementation of this multimodal hub. The Rail Authority has also purchased approximately another 15 acres or so they will actually have the full 37-acre site that will be available for the for the youth. The investment so far has been about $26 million in those properties, all but about $3.5 million of that from the Regional Rail Authority. As Representative Johnson mentioned, we are requesting $9 million in additional state bonding to make up the rest of the match for that first $50 million. Right now, the project is conducting an environmental assessment, which will be complete this spring and is the environmental documentation that's needed to make that, to access that $50 million. We are also preparing to start preliminary engineering on the project. The Rail Authority will take full possession of the property at the end of 2010 when the post office's new sorting facility is complete, and we will be ready then to start rehabilitation, revitalization of the project so that it will be available for use by 2012. This is an overhead shot of how the project might look in the future. It will provide tremendous intermodal connectivity for the region. Amtrak goes right by the depot today on the existing freight railroad tracks and has expressed their commitment to working with us to use the depot in the future. From the outset, it will serve Amtrak and intercity and transit buses, and then the Central Corridor will come in 2014. We plan to have special bicycle accommodations as part of the facility, and most importantly, perhaps, on down the road, the project will accommodate the potential for the Midwest Regional Rail Initiative, which is the proposal for increased passenger rail service from Chicago and additional commuter rail lines that may happen in the future. This last year, the federal government, for the first time, really set up an intercity passenger rail program, and many states have been moving aggressively forward, and this will accommodate that type of service for the region. Again, thank you for your time, and we'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
If I might just interrupt just for a brief moment, there's a quorum present. May I have a motion to approve the minutes for February 12th, Representative Newton?
So moved.
It has been properly moved, and we will answer any questions. Any questions for the testifiers today? So moved. Oh, now I can go back to the questions. Thank you so much. Questions from the committee? Hearing none. Would anyone in the audience like to testify for or against the bill? Hearing none, House File number 316 will be held over for possible inclusion in the committee's recommendation to the bonding committee. Thank you so much for your testimony today, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
The next bill we have on the agenda is House File number 364, which we will hear testimony on and lay over for possible inclusion in our recommendations to the bonding committee. And may I have a motion to get Representative Pulaski's bill in front of the committee?
So moved.
Representative Nelson, moved House File number 364. Welcome to the committee. Representative Pulaski, please tell us about your bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House File 364 is a bill that you have had before this committee last session. It impacts the Port Development Assistance Program. The cities are Duluth, Red Wing, St. Paul, and Winona. The bill is a popular term, a multimodal transportation system. But as you know, the infrastructure of our ports are critical, and particularly in Winona, we learned that when the bridge was closed for approximately 2 weeks for repairs, the Mississippi Bridge, the port became even more of a critical access for us. Lori Lauder of St. Paul is here to testify briefly, members, but the bill only changes from the bill we had before you last year by the amount, approximately $3 million, and they would be in general obligation bonds. So, Mr. Chair, if Lori Lauder could testify briefly, and then any questions.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and tell us who you represent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Lori Lauder. I'm a director with the St. Paul Port Authority, and I'm speaking today on behalf of the Minnesota Ports Association. Thank you so much for your time. I'll try to be brief. I want to thank Representative Pawlowski and the members of this committee for your continuing support of the Ports Development Assistance Program. This program, as you may know, allows our public ports to maintain the critical infrastructure, most, I might add, which has been developed during the 1930s and is in critical need of upgrading. And so this program provides a continuance of maintaining these infrastructure pieces and move products in and out of the state of Minnesota through the Great Lakes and the Mississippi waterway system so that our farmers and others can bring products to the worldwide market. Our ports have some pent-up demand for infrastructure improvements, and funds were provided for the Port Development Assistance Program in 2007, and then the entire bonding bill was vetoed again. And again in 2008, the Port Development Bonding Bill was line item vetoed. So we do have a lot of pent-up demand. I believe you have a handout, Mr. Chair, which shows some of the details of our project needs. And these designate projects which fall in the category, some of them anyway, of shovel-ready. And so you can see that those are active on here. These projects are ready to go. These shovel-ready projects are ready to go this construction season. We appreciate your consideration of the use of state bond proceeds to proceed with these port infrastructure projects. We also want to note that the federal economic stimulus package includes an appropriation to the Department of Transportation for supplemental discretionary grants. And so in this section of the package, there's language which allows these funds to be used for, and I quote, port infrastructure investments, including projects that connect ports to other modes of transportation and improve the efficiency of freight movement, unquote. So we will continue to work, Mr. Chair, with MnDOT and those officials to determine how much of this money might be allocated for these type of projects. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time.
Representative Beard?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Lauder, I had two questions, but you just inspired a third one. Say that part about where the language is that authorizes the stimulus money again. Is that coming? Or it's not in House Bill 364, is it?
No, it is not. Mr. Chair and Representative, this, as I understand it, is in the Federal Department of Transportation. Bill, I think Kevin Wally has some copies here, but it's Title 12 of the federal package from the National Surface Transportation.
Hello, Representative Beard?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Ms. Lauder, the Railroad Division has a Mercy program where the funds that we deposit from bond proceeds go out and go to work and are paid back. And it's going to be either for you or for Representative Pawlowski. Does the port fund work that way as well, or do we just make the grants and the funds are expended and they're only replenished by bond sale, or has it become a revolving fund account?
Mr. Chair and Representative, this is a revolving fund in that we provide 20% of the total amount and the state's Ports Development Assistance Program provides 80%. So there is a match there.
Representative Beard?
I don't think I made the question clear. Once the state makes the grant to the port, are you obligated to pay it back at some point in the future, or is it a grant for 80% of your project?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I apologize. No, we are not required to pay back that 80%, but we do match it with 20% local funds.
Okay.
Representative, any follow-up questions?
Well, the last one was, did I hear you say, Ms. Lauder, that because we've talked about this, so this is a worthy program that I'm a big fan of course, because it's part of the basic infrastructure that doesn't get all the press clippings, but we've passed this before, or something like this, but so we haven't had any bond sales because of the veto, and it hasn't worked its way back into a subsequent bonding bill. Is that what I'm understanding? So this hasn't been funded for the last several years.
Mr. Chair, Representative, that is correct.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Pawlowski, Ms. Lauder, not to get too provincial or anything, but there is another port in the state of Minnesota, and I don't see any plans for anything on there. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan. Representative Morgan brings up Minneapolis. Minneapolis, to my knowledge, has had access to this fund, and
I don't represent Minneapolis, but I think you know the representative that does, and you may speak to her about it.
Representative Morgan.
Mr. Chair, actually I was speaking more specifically about the Panther Savage, and I'd like you to address that issue. I actually thought Representative Beard was going to beat me to it there, but...
Representative Morgan?
I was speaking of the Panther Savage, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Morgan needs to have a higher level of specificity, I think, in his question.
Representative Mauro.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, I think I would note, and I think there's some already mentioned of the supplemental discretionary funding available under the economic stimulus bill, and I think I join Representative Beard in knowing there's a great deal of infrastructure, freight rail as well as ports and the like, and I hope that we can follow the Senate's lead, Mr. Chair, and hold a hearing over the next 2 weeks to talk about economic stimulus funding and perhaps the oversight of how the discretionary process is going to work.
I'd like you to know that we are planning that, and that's being scheduled.
Thank you.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and Representative Blumsky, or Mr. Wally, or Lori, I see this is St. Paul Port Authority only, and you got all these others. How did this one come out of a whole mess? Who determines the priority?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Kevin Wally, representing the Minnesota Ports Association. The projects on the list are from four of the ports. Within each of the ports, where there's multiple requests, the individual ports would determine their priorities. And what's been happening is the individual ports have been securing engineering work and getting their projects ready to go. During the past 2 years, this project hasn't changed dramatically because we had teed up these projects for consideration in the 2007 bonding bill, which was vetoed, and so a lot of this work is pent-up demand. When the actual decision-making is done with all of the ports participating and the particular priorities are determined, there's always been a discussion among the ports with the Department of Transportation to determine which are truly the most urgent needs and which are the most ready to go. And so that has always been the underlying principle of the allocation of these dollars to particular ports. And it's always worked out very, very well among the ports, and I think a good distribution of resources has been provided.
Any follow-up, Representative Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Wally, I understand that now. In other words, though, what kind of threw me was Ms. Lauder's with the St. Paul Port Authority, and this is a Winona bill, and I was wondering how come they got with...
Mr. Chair, let's unreal. This isn't a Winona bill. It's a statewide bill, and it impacts at least the cities that I mentioned in my testimony in the beginning. So this is not a Winona bill. It's being carried for the entire state.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the first time in this committee we've talked about ports. Could you explain to us what the economic downturn has done, if anything, to the use of our ports in this state?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I do know that for the Port of Duluth this year, there was a considerable reduction in the amount of grain that was shipped out of the port. I can't remember the exact numbers. I could get that for you and follow up, but there was a significant downturn. Now, that wasn't all necessarily the result of economic activity, but it probably had more to do with uses of the grain, and I think more of it is being used for biodiesel and ethanol, and so there's probably somewhat less that's being exported as a result of those domestic uses of the product. I can follow up with some other details, but I think that the bulk commodities that move into and out of the port, a lot of it's tied to construction activity, so I would imagine there might be a bit of a downturn on that type of product coming in particular. But again, I don't have specific numbers. I can ask the port to provide a little bit more detail.
Thanks. Representative Morgan.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Perhaps I could address my question to Mr. Wally. The Port of Savage doesn't have any projects on this list. Is there a reason for that? Are they late in the submission? Is something not deemed a priority? Can you help me with that?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, Representative Morgan, the Port of Savage is privately operated facilities, And the Port Development Assistance Program has been specifically geared toward the public ports, and particularly when you're using state bond proceeds, and most of the funds that have been used to capitalize this program have been bond proceeds, you're limited in any case to publicly owned facilities and with a useful life of at least 20 years for the investment.
Any follow-up? Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to follow up on Representative Beard's question, just to make certain that everybody did hear, obviously this is one of those sore points with me, but we actually have had the ports in the last two bills, and 2 years ago the entire bill was vetoed, but the surprise was last year when ports were line item vetoed, and I mean that was absolutely, I have to tell you, still bewildering to me. So that's motivation, members. If you're wondering what our priorities ought to be this year, it's just one of those when you know that has happened for a number of years in a row to a vital transportation infrastructure, we have to keep that in mind. So thought I'd mention it again.
Thank you, Representative Housen. Representative Dipsky.
Thank you. This is my last question. Exactly how much money are we talking about for this particular project that the state will be?
Mr. Chair, that's what we're looking at in this bill, $3 million. This would be in bond authority.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Would anyone in the audience like to testify for or against House File number 364?
Mr. Chair, just before anyone else comes up, the wheat growers approached me before the hearing. They also support the bill. They didn't have a handout at this time, but they will have a handout should this bill proceed in support of it.
Okay. Anyone else? Hearing none, no one else wants to testify. This bill will be held over for possible inclusion in the committee's recommendation to the bonding committee. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Members of the committee.
The next bill we have on the agenda today is going to be House File number 373, which we will hear testimony on and lay over for possible inclusion in our recommendation to the bonding committee. May I have a motion to get Representative Murphy's bill in front of the committee?
Yes, I would like to do that.
Representative Housen moves. Welcome to the committee, Representative Murphy. I'll give you a couple minutes to settle yourself.
It should be Representative Reinert, but I don't see him here, so I'm moving it.
Representative Murphy, please tell us about the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm here to ask for funding for the Northern Lights Express. And the Northern Lights Express is the name that won the contest.
Mm-hmm.
We started out calling it the North Star, and then someone else took that, and then we were calling it the North Shore Express, and we called it the Hiawatha. Somebody else took that, and we called it different things. And they had focus groups, and then they had a contest.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out to be the Northern Lights Express. And it's a connecting train that would go who knows where in the United States, but it's going to go fast. Not super fast, 160 miles yet, but we're talking at least 110 miles. And that means that people could get from up there, down there, here, faster than the car.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they want to stop off at scenic places along the way. Mr. Earhart from Anoka County and Mr. Robert Manzolini are here to give you details.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and tell us who you represent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate being here each and certainly express my appreciation to you and the committee and Representative Murphy.
Thank you.
My name is Dan Earhart, and I'm an Anoka County Commissioner, and I am the Vice Chair of Northern Lights Express Alliance. And that is the Joint Powers Authority, and I'd ask that you support House File 373 in a capital bonding request for $1 million to fund environmental engineering and design work on the Northern Lights Express high-speed passenger rail service between Duluth and Minneapolis. The lines include 8 counties, 2 cities, a tribal government along this important state transportation corridor. We've made significant progress to establish 110 miles an hour passenger rail service that will be competitive with the automobile along this corridor. I'd like to review some of the key items regarding this project. First of all, the National Passenger Rail Working Group, that's a national committee which was headed by United States Transportation Secretary, recommended that the NLX has one of the only 6 new rail corridors in the U.S. for the first tier of funding. This working group studied a national rail network and recommended that all first tier projects be completed by 2016. The state legislature, in partnership with the federal and local governments, funded key elements for this project. Foremost, the comprehensive economic feasibility report, which concluded that this project would be successful according to the National Federal Rail Administration standards. Number 3, the Federal Rail Administration recently awarded grants in their first ever capital assistance to the state's grants program. 1/3 of the available planning dollars for the entire nation was awarded to the national, NLX for its programmatical environmental study. Number 4, we've established a significant partnership with Burlington Northern Railroad and company to model and plan for high-speed service along this corridor. And number 5, the alliance includes government representatives from Wisconsin as this service connects with Douglas County and the city of Superior. We now have an opportunity to move passengers in 2 hours and 7 minutes between Duluth and Minneapolis. Passengers will eventually connect to St. Paul and other Minnesota cities and on to the high-speed service to Chicago. And we have the best advocate in Washington, nationally recognized transportation leader, James Overstar, the congressman from the area where much of this line serves. The key to our success is that this is a Federal Rail Administration project. FRA projects are eligible for up to 80% federal funding. Our state and our citizens need to be prepared to access this funding to bring jobs, economic development, and mobility to our region. Plus, the environmental benefits of rail service are enormous. Fewer cars means less congestion, and that will cut down on carbon emissions. And it will also decrease the dependence on foreign oil. Families, students, business people can save time and money if they use high-speed rail service. In this high-tech era, riding the train means you can use your laptop, your BlackBerry, or other electronic devices to conduct business while you travel. The national government is making this a high priority. We've done the necessary background work, completed the studies, and implemented the governance and private sector alliances to make this project happen. And citizens want transportation alternatives. The time is right to continue to invest in passenger rail service across Minnesota. Further, we are pleased with the cooperation received from the Minnesota Department of Transportation. This project will only be successfully completed when all the stakeholders are fully engaged. Bob Mangeline is with us here today, and he is the director of St. Louis Lake County Rail Authority, and he will answer any of your detailed questions that you might have. In conclusion, I ask ask your support as we work together to create jobs, provide competitive and efficient transportation alternatives to help our environment. Thank you very much, and I stand for any questions.
Just for clarity, I understand that there is an amendment. Is this your amendment?
Oh, forgot about the amendment. Mr. Chair, yes. This amendment is an amendment that was put on in the Senate, and so this would make it like the Senate.
Mr. Chairman, I've made the amendment.
All right, Representative Reinhart moves the amendment. Does anyone have a copy? Well, everyone has a copy of the amendment, correctly? Correct? All right. All those in favor of the amendment?
Yes.
Question?
On line 1.2 of the amendment, where do we insert the for design? It says insert on line 1. Oh, it says delete. Okay. And insert that. Okay. Never mind.
Any other questions on the amendment before we vote on the amendment? All those in favor? I'm sorry. Hearing none. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed say nay. Hearing none. The motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted. And I think we have a question from Representative Swell.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and being an East Metro member, I'm always curious as to the rationale behind decisions that do not affect us. And this particular one is when you say that this high-speed rail would go to Minneapolis and not to the St. Paul Depot, I'm a little curious as to what the negotiations were that took this to Minneapolis and what is the mechanism to connect the two now between the two cities.
Mr. Chair, the reason it goes to Minneapolis is because in Anoka County, that's where the rail line runs from Minneapolis through Anoka County through Isanti County, and then it proceeds north and goes into Douglas County, Superior, and into Duluth. And so that was the parameter. That was the parameter that we dealt with, and certainly we anticipate that we will have good and fast connections with Ramsey County, St. Paul in the future, and that is being worked on right now. But this project is simply a project that runs from St. Duluth through Superior and down through our area and into Minneapolis.
Follow up?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just then am curious, since you're using existing rail, and as we understand it from other presentations, high-speed rail needs to be a segregated track, and the grade needs to be different. Are you going to be involved with a lot of land acquisition? How are you going to go about then providing that extra track?
I think Mr. Manzoli may want to answer that.
Mr. Chairman, Bob Manzoli with the St. Louis Lake County Rail Authority. Welcome, Representative. The track will be located within the existing Burlington Northern Rail right-of-way corridor, which at its minimum is 100 feet in width, and all the construction will occur within that corridor existing. Mm-hmm.
Representative Rennett?
Thank you, Chair. Representative Swales, I can help answer that question as well. I was the city's representative on the Joint Powers Authority until I came here to join the legislature, and then they booted me off. This number technically is not high speed. It's passenger rail. So it'll be using an existing line, upgrading it from freight speed to the passenger speed of roughly 110 miles an hour. And Mr. Chair, just in kind of recapping the discussion here, a couple points, members, and I know we're going to lay this over, but again, this uses existing line versus a lot of acquisition and purchase. It is the passenger speed of 110. We considered early on the high-speed option, and frankly, it 4 or 5 times the expense. And trying to be good stewards of the dollars that were involved, we decided that the 110 option was about the right compromise. And as Commissioner Earhart pointed out, and as someone who's making this trek frequently now, it is the thing that makes this line work now. There's a couple things that make it work that didn't make it work in the 80s. And number one is the ability to use your phone, use your laptop, sleep, eat, read, all these things that you shouldn't do in the car. But I'm here to tell you, I've seen every single one of them now, commuting back and forth on I-35. Not good. And the other thing that I didn't get brought up in the testimony that really makes this line work is the Mille Lacs Band and the casino, that dead center in the middle of the line. If we do the numbers and run the feasibilities, it's like adding a city of 1 million people right in the middle of the line. So when the time comes, I do strongly encourage your support for this project.
Thank you. Representative Beard?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Some of my thoughts or questions have been addressed by Representative Reinhart's recent remarks, because at least two occasions in the past, there have been trains from the Twin Cities to Duluth. Private railroads ran on several routes to Duluth, and they dropped those. And then, of course, when Amtrak was formed, they ran a line for years. What was the service on that? How did we do? Why did we drop that? And I'm thinking at the end, it wasn't even daily. I think it was like three times a week, wasn't it?
Mr. Chair, Representative, the biggest reason it was dropped is because it was too slow. It was about a four-hour ride. It was more a tourist ride. We looked at this a long time, and I don't believe we would have proceeded unless we could get the trip down to 2 hours to 2 hours and 15 minutes so that we could compete with a car and, of course, a lot more comfortable. That was the parameter that we used before we moved forward.
Any follow-up, Representative?
I was just going to ask, there is, Mr. Chairman, the rate structure. I noticed in the handout that you've done on one of the pages here, there's you talk about likely fares about $36 each way. How is that going to do for cost recovery? Are you firm on those numbers? Talk to me about the research on that and about what you're looking for subsidy above and beyond what's going to be fare box recovery, and what is the fare box percentage, roughly.
Mr. Chairman and Representative, we've done quite a bit of work in the feasibility end of the project, looking at the markets, the economics of the project, and what the fare schedule should be. Right now, we have to cover the cost of the operation and maintenance of the facility. We're looking at the public, putting up the capital costs, and then longer term, that all operation and maintenance be covered by those fares. So that's how we kind of drive at the 36 you're looking at right now. There's been a range anywhere from 30 to 40, but until we finish the next piece of work we intend to do with the dollars we're requesting, we'll have a better number for you, but that's as much as we've done so far. We'd want to cover all the operation and maintenance of this line.
And then the frequency of operation proposed, are we talking daily trains? Are we talking multiple trains on the south end? Is this susceptible to commuter rail, or what are we thinking here?
Mr. Chairman and Representative, again, the initial feasibility study looks at multiple trains per day, and we set it up to look at 8 trips per day, which seems like a lot, but we haven't really gotten into the final scheduling numbers. But what we're what we'll be looking at is operating more trains in the morning coming into the city and then reversing in the evening. And we don't quite have the number on that yet. We're looking at possibly up to 6 trains per day, acting more like a commuter in the morning, and then reversing that in the evening and 6 going out. But we have studied this to accommodate for 8 trips in case in time we do build this thing out and we need to accommodate more travelers. We have that capacity to do that.
Thank you. Representative Dixie?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My questions have already been answered.
All right. Representative Scott?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question, I have a couple of them, actually. The first one is, was there any sort of cost-benefit analysis done on this project? And if so, where could we get our hands on that?
Mr. Chair, Representative, there has been the cost-benefit analysis and benefit ratios. It is showing as a viable project to the FRA. We're reporting to the Federal Rail Administration, by the way, not the Federal Transit Authority, as I think you're used to in the metro area here with your commuter light rail projects. This is an FRA project, and they do require that the project demonstrate a positive cost-benefit ratio. And the numbers they use are a little bit different, but a good cost-benefit ratio in a service like this would be in the neighborhood of 1.2 to 1.4, and this one's showing up to be around a 1.8 to 2.3. So we're above and beyond what the FRA deems necessary to proceed, and it's all found right in this little study available on the Anoka County website and the St. Louis and Lake County website.
Representative Scott?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. You covered the cost of the tickets. You didn't say anything about if the taxpayer is going to be subsidizing any of these trips, or is that an unknown at this point, or what do you expect in that?
Right now, we don't expect a subsidy. We do in the initial 3 years, as the report will tell you. It needs a ramp-up subsidy for 3 years, and then it will go to break even and actually make money. That's what the feasibility report is telling us right now.
And when is the feasibility study, Mr. Chair, when is the feasibility study done? When is it finished?
Oh, it was finished in December 2007.
Okay. I'm just curious because, you know, the economy has changed substantially since that period of time, and I just wonder how many people are going to be able to, you know, afford riding this thing. And I know that even, you know, you're using the casino as a draw for that, and I heard this morning on the news that, you know, casino, you know, they're not doing as much business as they did. So I think we ought to take into account the, you know, what the economy is doing right now. Thank you.
Representative Rennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just in addition to the presenters, the author members, if there are one-on-one questions, happy to answer them. And I've got all that information that Mr. Manzman was talking about as well. Sat on the authority when we went through the feasibility study and the rate structure. So.
Any other questions? Representative Hulbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have some questions about the distribution of ridership. I don't know if your red dots are hard stops, if you're going to have additional ones or whatever, but can you talk a little bit about the distribution of the density of the ridership? It's looking like you're going to have 1,500 people a day using that. What percentage are between Hinckley and the Twin Cities or Cambridge and the Twin Cities, and how many of them are actually going as far as Duluth?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the numbers are in the report, and I could page through to get them for you exactly, but just to give you some broad numbers to look at, about two-thirds of the ridership will occur from Hinckley South, and about a third Hinckley North, if that gives you a general enough number.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Would anyone in the audience like to testify for or against the bill? If not, House File number 373 will be held over for possible inclusion in the committee's recommendation to the bonding committee as amended. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Okay. Thank you. Gotcha. The next bill we will do on the agenda is House File number 48, which we will hear testimony on and lay over for possible inclusion in our recommendations to the bonding committee. May I have a motion to get Representative Bigham's bill in front of the committee? Representative Swells moves House File number 364. Welcome to the committee, Representative Bigham. Please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Chair Campion. One quick concern. I didn't realize it was going to be laid over for inclusion of recommendation, and I do have an amendment to match up to the Senate committee that I would, I guess, like to amend at this time an oral amendment. Is it that would be okay, Mr. Chair?
Yes, that's okay.
Okay, after line point 17, or on line point 17, after the word council.
Okay.
I'd like to insert the word for a grant.
I'm sorry, hold on. Just one moment. Mr. Chair, I'd move that amendment.
Well,
I don't think she's finished.
Wait, I wasn't finished.
Please
assure her that she has a vote.
Thank you. I was doing my theater improv, I guess. For a grant to the Washington County Regional Rail Authority.
And before I ask someone to move it, I would like Matt Burris to articulate it one more time for the committee.
Mr. Chair and members, the oral amendment reads page 1, line 7, after council, insert for a grant to the Washington County Regional Rail Authority.
It appears that the amendment has been moved by Representative Horstein.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All those against say nay. The ayes have it. The amendment is before. Thank you. You may continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Chair Hornstein as well. This is a $2 million bonding request for the commuter rail line for the Red Rock Corridor Transitway. This goes from Hastings to Minneapolis, stopping in the Union Depot.
of course. And we have been working on this for quite some time. And with me in support of this and a real champion of the Red Rock Corridor is Washington County Commissioner Myra Peterson from my district, and also the Dakota County Board is in support of this proposal too. So this would be a $2 million bond sale for construction and furnishing and designing of park and rides along the way, and pre-design and preliminary engineering for the extension of the Red Rock Corridor between Hastings and Red Wing for future. So with that, I can stand for questions, but also I know the commissioner would like to talk a little bit about the proposal.
Welcome, Commissioner Peterson. Please identify yourself for the record and tell us who you represent.
I'm Myra Peterson, Washington County Commissioner, and I'm chair of the Red Rock Rail Corridor. I'm also chair of our county board. And I'm here today representing the Red Rock Corridor Commission. The dollars that we would be using this for is, number one, to build a park and ride in the city of Hastings. It is a historic building, and it can be utilized during the interim as a bus service park and ride. We're also looking at the city of Newport for an additional park and ride. And if you look at the map that you all have, you'll notice that Newport has, for the last 8 years, been under construction with the Lakota Bridge. And as we go forward, we think that it's important that we have a park and ride at that location. It gives us the opportunity of a 494 bus, and it could also connect to the Red Rock Rail Corridor. It's a pivotal facility, and it would help Newport rebuild itself after its long decimation and under construction. It's been well over 8 years. I would like to point out that the Red Rock Corridor, the high-speed rail corridor, and this is a major freight line. So any improvements that we make along this corridor, it's three for one. You're getting three bangs for each dollar invested. We are looking at improvements made to the stops, the railroad crossing. That's an improvement that's going on. We're also thinking that if we can get this down to Red Wing, and Prairie Island, they have both asked to be a part of the Red Rock Rail Corridor. It is a good use of public dollars, and as many of you know, I worked very hard on the Lakota Bridge. That was a key milestone in my career. But the interesting thing, that after completing the bridge, and after putting all of these resources into making this bridge viable, the Met Council has indicated to us that in 2020, we're going to have congestion again in that area. So the rail line, the Red Rock Rail Line, is a viable alternative to expanding the highway. It is better for the environment. It is better for land use. And this, all of these improvements increase the density along the corridor. So it's good land usage. And I would stand for any questions. I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be here today to give testimony on the Red Rock Corridor and for the sponsoring bill.
Thank you. Any questions?
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to point out that we are very hopeful the Lakota Bridge will be completed by 2020.
We're planning
on the opening for next summer, for the record, in 2010.
Representative Dipsy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Talking about completion, this project hinged on the Union Depot project being finished or being completed first, that we just heard earlier in this committee hearing.
Mr. Chair, Madam.
Yes.
Commissioner Peterson.
This improvement currently is being utilized for bus service, and it will continue for bus service until the Union Depot is finished, but we're doing the park and rides. We're trying to build this together so that
The Union Depot Central Corridor will be completed first, and we hope to follow shortly afterwards.
Any follow-up?
No.
Representative,
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Representative Hobart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a handout from a previous bill request for the Midwest Regional Rail Authority, and I believe the request was about $10 million, and Representative Hausman brought me some information that's actually in my office about what the breakdown would that would be, and so it looks like there's some overlap here. So how much do you need for the park and ride, and how much is pre-designed, which may be also covered in the request for this project?
Currently, Mr. Chair.
Peterson?
Yes, and Representative Holbrook. Right now, we are looking at completing first the park and ride. If we can keep facing zones the land, can we get a park and ride built for less money? We hope so. But, you know, so we're working on some deals. As in all, anytime you have a number of agencies working together.
And I understand that, but you picked a figure of $2 million in your bill, and you're requesting for park and ride lots and pre-design. So I'm asking, of your $2 million request, how much of it's for park and ride, and how much of it is for pre-design that may in fact be covered by funding under this program?
Commissioner Peterson?
Mr. Chair, I would have to defer to my learned staff.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself and tell us who you work with.
Thank you. My name is Ted Seneca. I'm with the Washington County Public Works Department. Mr. Chair, Representative, the language that we have in front of you is for park and ride construction and design. There's potential overlap with the high-speed rail request for $10 million, but it would be very minimal.
And Mr.
Representative
Holbrook? When would you know if there was going to be overlap?
We would know more. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, Representative. We would know more, obviously, as we get into the two projects with the high-speed rail. The high-speed rail corridor is much longer, much more significant design, review, analysis, as opposed to what's being proposed out of this bill here.
And Mr. Chair,
Representative,
and I don't know who's the right person to answer this, but I get concerned when I look at projects that are overlapping each other and who is going to be in charge, if you will, and I don't really want to be giving money to Washington County if, in fact, MnDOT's the one that's administering the oversight of the program for the high-speed rail or whatever it might be. And so I'm really concerned that as a legislature that we know who the lead agency is in a corridor, and that we provide money to that agency, and then have the entities that have interests work with the lead agency to make sure that everything is covered. So I don't have a problem with the park and ride portion of it. I do have concerns in having two different agencies here before asking for money in the same corridor, which appears to be maybe not the best use of taxpayer resources.
Commissioner Peterson?
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Representative Holbert. The Washington County is the fiscal agent for the Red Rock Corridor. The dollars that we are requesting will go principally to work on the Hastings Park and Ride and the Newport Park and Ride. If there is remaining money, we will be looking at how we can maximize those public dollars and to utilize the space between Hastings and Red Wing. And that can be preliminary engineering if there's enough, or I don't suspect there will be.
Well, and Mr. Chair, now I'm even more concerned because when we had the high-speed rail folks here last week, they assured us that they were, you know, all together in this corridor and that they were working on the best options. And so now I hear that Washington County is the fiscal agent for the Red Rock Corridor, and I'm getting more confused, and I see Representative Hornstein has his hand up, so maybe he's going to phone a friend here or something, but I didn't have an explanation for me. But
Representative Hornstein?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Holbrook raises some very good and valid points, but
it's my understanding that this is for park and ride development, and you know, there isn't even a high-speed rail station at Hastings. The nearest one is going to be in Red Wing.
Yes.
And so I think this is consistent with more of a local commuter infrastructure. The overlap will take place with the track improvements, et cetera, and I think it's pretty clear that MnDOT is going to be the lead agency here. But this is the transit commuter rail infrastructure. And, Hastings and Newport are not even stations on the high-speed rail.
And so, Mr. Chair, then what you're saying is that you don't expect this money will be used for extension of rail between Hastings and Red Wing?
Well, to the extent that... there's the needed infrastructure for commuter rail, which is different than high-speed rail, yes, but I think the bulk of it is for the park and ride.
And Mr. Chair, I mean, maybe Representative Bingham can for the committee, before we make our recommendations, how much of it would be for actual costs associated with park and rides, and then a more clear delineation of how the additional money would be used so we have the ability to figure out, make sure we're not paying for the same thing twice.
Right.
Thank you. It's nice to talk on my own bill. I think the point is that this will be used, and I understand, Representative Holder, you want a set amount that will be, like either a percentage or a dollar amount that will be used for that. But what I can tell you about the second part regarding the pre-design of preliminary engineering is that if there would be needed improvements for, because it's commuter rail, and if there'd be any sort of needed improvements between the high speed and commuter rail, that's, really a lot of, that's what that's kind of be focusing on. But I have no problem working with the Washington County staff to get a percentage or a dollar amount for you. But I can tell you that our hope is that that we build a park and ride in Hastings and Newport, build the ridership more. I take the bus when I don't work here. I'm at the Hennepin County Attorney's Office. I take the express bus from Cottage Grove to Minneapolis, and a lot of those folks are from either Wisconsin in a way or Hastings. So this is getting ridership. And we also, because of budget cuts in previous years, we did lose a stop in Newport, some of the frequency stops in Newport, which, also hurt our ridership because it was an inconvenience. So we're trying to build that up, too, for the cost-effectiveness factor as well. I don't know if you have anything else to add, Commissioner.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Peterson.
And Representative Paulberg, to this point, there are line improvements, crossing improvements that can be made from Hastings to Red Wing that will accommodate high speed, it will also accommodate commuter rail, and it would also accommodate freight. So that resources would be utilized in that way. And Mr. Chair, I'm fully aware of that. My point is that we don't have one group spending money in the corridor this way and another group that's spending it in another way, and we don't have the coordination. I get that there's different competing interests here and timing, and are we going to be high speed or not? I understand all of that. Are we going, we might not even be going through Hastings if we're going through Rochester. I know there's a lot of things, up in the air, but again, if we're spending money to taxpayers to know what they're getting for it.
Representative Dagan?
Yep, Mr. Chair, and Representative, one, we have a joint powers agreement, and two, we are united. I couldn't be more certain of that as, working out with folks on the high speed, or Midwestern, I forget the
name.
Midwestern Rail Authority. We do have joint powers agreements, and we are united in our concept of this plan. I can guarantee that. And I'm a very good steward of the tax dollars, and I wouldn't want to doubling up on our stuff, as you say. So I will get you that information, though, on the how much, either percentage or dollar amount for you, for the best that we can.
Representative Mowell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Holbrook, I completely agree with you.
And I think it part just shows why we need a state rail plan, why we need to have, we have some of these, not competing, but overlapping concerns, certainly if we tax our dollar one way or another. But I think you're raising a very good point. I'm glad that Representative Bingham is willing to bring forward the percentages, bring forward the dollar amounts. We don't want to spend the same dollar twice. Nobody on this committee wants to do that. Since we're laying the bill over, we can get that information, and I appreciate you raising the point.
Any other questions? Would anyone in the audience like to testify for or against the bill? Seeing none, thank you so very much. House File 48 will be held over for possible inclusion in the committee's recommendations to the bonding committee. Oh, I'm sorry. It appears that there was a person from the committee that had a question. Representative Beard?
Yes, I had just a couple of comments and an observation here for Commissioner Peterson. First of all, I'm glad to see the park and rides go. We've always had great success, even from my regional transit days and what we just did in Scott County. The park and rides have been a huge success, and I think you'll find that here. As we, you know, do that highway 60, we got a brand new piece of highway that's been coming for many years. But one of the things I'm concerned about is the scope of the project. You know, that it's going to morph from just replacing the bridge to, oh, while we're here, let's do this, that, and the other thing. And pretty soon, I don't think we can exactly call them change orders, but the scope of the project got a lot bigger than what it was when it started. You've been working on it a long time, and since you brought it up, I'm going to ask Commissioner, when did you start working on the Wakota project?
Commissioner Peterson?
I have to stop and think. Mr. Chair, Representative Beard. We started, I was elected in 93, mm-hmm. and we started planning for the Wakota Bridge in 1993-94. But it was underway before that. The project grew not by the Lakota Bridge Coalition, but more by MnDOT looking at how to make major improvements along that corridor. It is a major truck route, and the bottleneck at the Lakota caused a great deal of consternation for many of our semis. So it was.
Well, I got a little bit of follow-up, yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Beard?
Oh, and I don't know that Commissioner Peterson was finished, but as we're looking at these parking rides, the little stars on the map here, were they accounted for in some of the changes that were made? Are we going to have to break up brand new concrete to build them, or curb cuts, or are we in good shape to move ahead with it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beard, these improvements were planned for or have been planned for as we go forward. The one, particularly in Newport, the parcel of land that we're looking at, not only accommodates current bus opportunities, but future 494 bus opportunities, and it would be just a matter of coming off of 494, going into a park and ride, and you can just scoot back out and go around up farther towards Woodbury. So there would be no additional roadway necessary to accommodate that function.
Okay.
And
one last question. The we laughed about the completion time of this project. This project actually was started under what administration, and who was the transportation commissioner when we did this? And was it done design build, or was it design bid build?
It was
Mr. Peterson.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and Representative Beard, that was not a design build. This was a design bid build. And I can't remember the administration. I think it was, no, it was Carlson, I believe, when we first started. And it went to Jesse.
Sure. When the bids were actually let, it was actually the Ventura administration, and Mr. Enkelenberg was the commissioner at that time.
Any
Thank you, Mr.
Questions?
Chair. I just wanted to make sure that the committee remembered whose bridge it was and that it's going to finally be completed. We're grateful for that. After some serious engineering designs were captured by bridge inspectors, our overworked bridge inspectors, and we actually had to fix the thing on the fly. Lord, I wish we'd have had design build. It would have been done already, but since it was done under the old design bid build, we had to accommodate the process that was in place. And I think the bridge,
as it exists today, one side, six lanes, is better than what we used to drive across on the old humpback blue thing, which is gone now, but it will be even better when we finally get the thing done and get it done right. But thank you, Mr. Chair, for indulging me for just having Commissioner Peterson tell us about who actually built the bridge and whose watch it started on.
Final brief comments by Representative Bigham.
And not to, I don't like putting salt in those Representative Beard, but it actually was the Plenty Administration that decided to delay the completion of it during the retro sitting and the contracts to finish it up. I will just put that. I will agree with most of what you said, but the end result of these last 3 years has not been because of Jesse.
Well, thank you so much for your testimony today. House File number 48, as amended, will be held over for possible inclusion in the committee's recommendation to the bonding committee. The next bill we have on the agenda is House File number 547. The motion is to pass and return to the Finance Committee. Representative Leader or Beard, would you like to move your bill to get it before the committee? Okay, got
it. Did Representative Leader move the bill? Did he move the bill?
Okay. No, he okay. We need you, Representative Leader, to move the bill.
Oh, I'll move House File 547 to recommend to pass and be sent to the Finance Committee.
Representative Leader moves House File 547 to pass and be returned to the Finance Committee. Please tell us about the bill, Representative Leader.
Mr. Chair, I also have an amendment to bring the bill in the order it should be. It's Amendment H0547A1.
Does
I'd like to move the amendment,
amendment,
Mr. Chair.
I need someone to... are you moving to have this amendment before us?
Yes.
All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Motion carried.
Mr. Chair, the amendment basically brings in some language that was necessary after the stimulus bill was passed. Really what House File 547 does, the original bill took care of the situation the way it was before the stimulus bill was passed, and at that time, the aeronautics, any of the monies that were spent was 95-5 match. Since the stimulus bill was passed, it's 100% federal money, and I think this is the one we have here. And basically, the only new language that isn't in the statute is found on page 3, and that's where the amendment goes. I have a Mrs. Strigger here, I believe, wants to testify.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and tell us who you represent.
Mr. Chair, members, I am Ray Strigge from Short Elliott Hendrickson. And as Representative Leader said, the bill provides for accommodation of the newly signed into law American Economic Investment and Recovery Act. And the it simply revises the eliminates the requirement for the 5% local match. And we recommend the passage of this bill.
That's basically the bill, Mr. Chair.
I would like to bring to everyone's attention, first of all, that there's a fiscal note. So make sure that you look in your package, there's a fiscal note. Are there any questions? Representative Hobart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sir, can you tell me a little bit, part of my concern about all this federal money is that we're getting this pot of money that doesn't require any local match. So what happens is if you're already scheduled, whether you know it's a road project or airport, under current rules, and you're putting up a local match under what was the process for getting these projects done, and then wherever you kind of end up in the pipeline, you might be one of the lucky ones that escapes the local match. And then when that money runs out, then again where you are in the pipeline is going to determine whether you're crossing up local dollars again. Is there going to be any attempt to make sure that this money is kind of evenly spread around to affect as many airports as possible so that everybody has the benefit of getting a little bit of work done without a local match? Or are you looking at doing just a few big projects? Or how are you going to determine how the money is spent?
Mr. Stevie?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Holbert, the final administration of the airport portion of the stimulus package has not been formed. What we've seen through the American Association of Airport Executives newsletter is that there will be a U.S. Department of Transportation task force that is charged with determining which projects will be funded through the Stimulus Act. The projects must meet the airport improvement program requirements. And other than that, in checking with the FAA this morning, local district office, they don't have the final administrative process that's been defined.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Horton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question. Are we going to be voting on this bill to pass it to another location, and or is it going to go to the general register? Or?
It's my understanding that we're going to vote on the bill in order for it to go to the finance committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question on who is going to be providing oversight on how this money is spent.
Chairman Leader or
Mr. Strike, give me one.
Mr. Strike.
Mr. Chair, Representative, again, my understanding is that there will be a U.S. Department of Transportation task force overseeing this.
Are there any other questions?
Not, Mr. Chair. I'll renew my motion on House File 547 be recommended to pass and sent to the Finance Committee. As amended.
As amended. Representative Leader renews his motion for House File 547 as amended to pass as recommended and be returned to the Finance Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails. House File 547 is recommended to pass and be returned to the Finance Committee. The next bill we have on the agenda is House File number 548. The motion is to pass and return to the Finance Committee. Chair Leader, would you like to move the bill to get it before the committee?
Yes, I'll move House File 548.
Chair Leader moves House File 548 to pass and be returned to the Finance Committee. Please tell us about the bill, Chair Leader.
If I may, I'd like to have Mr. Scraggy again explain the bill.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and tell us who you work for.
Mr. Chair, members, I am Ray Scraggy with the firm of Short Elliott Hendrickson. House File 548 addresses needs created from the last legislative session in which $15 million was transferred from the state airports fund to the general fund to help balance the general fund. In the process, it eliminated all state aid on construction projects for the fiscal year, in other words, beginning July 1st, 2008, ending June 30th of 2009. The State Airports Fund is projected to have a balance of $6.5 million at the end of this fiscal year, June 30th, 2009. Part of that is due to the aircraft registration being approximately $2.5 million above the forecast. This bill requests the appropriation of $5 million against that $6.5 million. Substantially more projects ready to go than the $5 million state funding match would match probably over twice that amount of money in projects. What that would do is give us one-third more construction season, being able to start in the spring than waiting until the 1st of July, and it gives us the best third of the construction season with the longest days. And it eliminates the more challenging construction times, especially with bituminous paving that comes about in the fall. No use of general fund money nor borrowing would be required for this. The general fund would be a minor beneficiary of moving ahead with this because the state funds, as I mentioned, would leverage probably at least twice the amount in construction projects, And on those, there would be individual corporate and state sales taxes paid into the general fund. There could be a problem at the end of the 2010-2011 biennium if we're looking at the forecast amount of money left in the fund at that time. It is certainly difficult to forecast what that amount would be. If the expenditures through this appropriation would exceed what would be in the fund at the end of the biennium, of course the projects could be reduced. And again, I thank you for being able to testify.
Representative Beard.
Mr. Chair, if I may, the reason for the bill in the first place is they can't spend it without authority as any other transportation bill, and that's the reason this bill is before the committee. We have to authorize that expenditure, so that's basically what the bill is.
Thank you, Chair Leader. Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to kind of say what Representative Leader just said. Members, you remember several years ago when we had an enormous budget crunch, there was about $19 million that had accrued in the aeronautics fund. All that money comes from airplane users. No general fund money. It all comes from registration, fuel tax, passenger tax, and a few other things. And that money sits there to be spent on airport infrastructure improvements and navigational aid improvements and things like that. However, over the years, because aeronautics is part of MnDOT, they come up here and ask for their appropriation, and we, the legislature, speaking in the largest sense, wouldn't always approve their appropriation to spend everything that was in their account. We'd make a modest construction effort and so on and so forth. So they never spent everything that was being asked for, and they continued to accumulate money for a variety of reasons, but we wouldn't appropriate, allow them to spend the money. We wouldn't authorize the expenditure. What happened then is whenever we were short $368 million, the administration reached into their coffee can and took $15 million out and put it in general fund, which they can do. We can allow that to happen. At the moment, they've accumulated another $6.5 million sitting in that account. We're $460-some million short. I'm appreciative to the governor and his people, if they're listening, for not raiding that coffee can again this spring to fix the $460-some million shortfall we just had. However, a new day is coming, and one thing we really need to do, because we missed the entire airport construction season last year because of they didn't have the money, the $15 million was gone, is we need to approve, in my opinion, Representative Leader's bill to appropriate and authorize them to spend the $5 million, taking the balance down to about $1.5 million. That should be safe from legislative grabbing, because we can't really let that fund go much below that amount without them getting into cash flow problems and bouncing their checkbook. We won't let that happen. So just so we're clear on that point, we really need to authorize this to do a catch-up on a season that we missed and to allow aeronautics to start awarding bids right away to get in the ground. Now, someone asked about the stimulus money. We just talked just a moment ago about a bill that authorized 100% federal grants for stimulus money. And I don't know, Mr. Strege, if you're the gentleman to speak about that, or if we need to have somebody from aeronautics explain it. But there is a difference in who qualifies for what accounts. Representative Leader, I think, Mr. Chairman, that the federal money only goes to certain airports that are in the National Airspace Plan, System Plan. And we have 136 public use airports in this state that MnDOT Aeronautics takes care of. This $5 million could go to any one of those 136 airports. However, my understanding is the federal stimulus money can only go to a handful of airports, and I want to say there's 20?
96.
There is a number. Do you know what it is, Ray?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beard, it's 96.
96 of the 136 qualify for that federal stimulus money and can go there. So there will be plenty of people in both lines that can tap the pot. That's, I guess, what I've said all that to say. So you can vote with this with a clear conscience and not lay awake nights worrying about where that money's going or anything like that.
Mr. Chair. Representative Scott.
No, I didn't have a question. I was just going to ask him.
Mr. Chair, if I may comment. I thank Representative Beard for saying that, and the reason I'd like to say that too, and that's the same true of transportation projects. The stimulus money can only go to what are called federal aid or federal aid roads on the system, our system roads. So that kind of answers a lot of questions for a lot of people. It won't go on some of the locals.
Would anyone like to testify for or against the bill? Representative Leader, would you like to renew your motion for House File 548 to pass as recommended?
I'd like to move House File 548, be recommended pass and sent to the Finance Committee.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails. House File 548 is recommended to pass and be returned to the Finance Committee. Now, a couple notes before we adjourn, if I could keep your attention. One is we will not meet this Thursday due to the budget listening sessions that will be held across the state. Our next hearing is a joint hearing that will be held in Room 5 with the Environment Policy and Oversight Committee on Minnesota Climate Change Advisory Group's Transportation and Land Use Policy Recommendations. With that, the meeting is adjourned. Your next meeting will be February 24, 2009. Thank you.